Well, more than 500,000 Albertans have cast an advance ballot ahead of Monday's Alberta provincial election. That's a voting rate that should break the previous record of roughly 696,000 people, which was set in 2019. Now, the Alberta election is, for all intents and purposes, a two-horse race between the Alberta NDP and the United Conservative Party. There are 87 ridings in Alberta, and the UCP and the NDP are the only two running a full slate of candidates. It has, from certainly where I sit, it has been a bare-knuckle, elbows-up affair between the UCP, led by Danielle Smith, and Alberta NDP's Rachel Notley. Now, it's important to keep an eye on our neighbors as we are connected economically to Alberta, of course, and there's, of course, a significant amount of people-to-people relationships and family relationships as well. What happens in Alberta impacts British Columbia and vice versa. Now, ahead of election night on Monday, I thought it would be important we get a snapshot of what's happening on the ground. And our next guest is a perfect guest to talk a little bit about Alberta politics. That's Stephen Carter. He's president of Decide Campaigns and co-host of the Strategist podcast. Stephen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jazz. This is great.
Well, you know, I've been watching from afar, and I am incredibly intrigued by the Alberta election, more so than any other time. And I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it's polarizing. It's whatever it is. It is very interesting, even as a British Columbian, to watch it. What's your sense of things in this election as we head to election day, voting day? Is it as tight as people say it is?
It is incredibly tight. I was talking with some folks yesterday where we were guessing that we could be seeing a victory that would only have a few thousand votes that would decide the outcome. This is going to be a super close election, and it's going to be difficult for people to even make up their minds on who they want to support, which, you know, I almost thought that this was going to be an intervention. You know, you'd be calling from BC to tell us all the mistakes we were making, because we're making quite a few, and I really do appreciate you caring about us. It's quite a time out here in Alberta.
Oh, I bet. Now, what are the driving issues there?
The driving issues are similar to what's driving issues in British Columbia. We've got the same social disorder issues that you've got in BC. Tremendous homeless populations, drug use issues, downtowns that are fading. Then we also have economic issues, right? We are in the midst of our biggest fire season this early ever, and we're still not talking about climate change. We have the economy and the future of oil and gas kind of hanging over the election, but no one actually wants to talk about it. And that's too bad, because that would have made a very interesting election. But I'm not sure anybody telling the truth could have been actually elected in Alberta.
To me, I've always assumed that to win an election in Alberta, one had to win two out of three areas, which would be Calgary, mm-hmm. Edmonton, and then rural Alberta. Is that still essentially the math, the political math?
Well, and we're just making it smaller and smaller. Right now, Edmonton is entirely going to the NDP. Mm-hmm. Rural's almost entirely going to the UCP. And we've got a battle in Calgary where the majority of seats are going to the NDP. But will it be enough? They need to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 to 18 seats in Calgary if they're going to hold the election. And, you know, it's close. We're watching it fall down now to about four to six seats.
Mm-hmm. When I listen to Ms. Smith and watch her on television, there are things sometimes I kind of shake my head at, when the comments she's made, some of the positions she's taken. What is her appeal? And I don't mean that in a condescending way. No,
I'm
curious.
I don't know. She's running on, I'm going to protect you from the things that you're worried about. And so she's got a huge population of anti-vaxxers that support her. But the more important thing than anti-vax or any of these kind of crazy things and crazy supporters that she's got is the UCP is seen to be the defender of the Alberta economy. And we vote conservative out of almost habit here. Mm-hmm. Certainly it's not because of good governance, I can assure you of that. But because of that habit, she's able to get people to support her, and they are being told that if you vote for the NDP, you will in one fell swoop destroy the Alberta economy, as though world economics aren't doing a good enough job already.
That still remains an Achilles heel, though, for Ms. Notley, though. I mean, people, if they're saying Danielle Smith is the person, there still remains a healthy skepticism of the NDP and Ms. Notley and their ability to handle the economy.
It's been really interesting watching Notley and her team manage that. They have been ignoring that part of the issue and instead have just focused the negative campaign on Danielle. And the campaign has basically been, what crazy thing will she do next? And the positive thing for the NDP is that virtually every day, there's been another crazy thing that's been unearthed that Danielle Smith has said or done. Every day has been another issue, including being told by the ethics commissioner that she broke the law in a way that was not respectful of a democracy. And that's just kind of been swept away by the UCP followers because they just want to be conservative regardless of what it costs us in the long run.
But whether it's UCP or NDP, I mean, when I think of Calgary and Alberta, and I've been there in a couple of years, look forward to going back this summer, I see a very young province. An increasingly diverse province. I mean, you are going through significant demographic changes.
Well, we have the third most diverse population in Canada here in Calgary. I mean, I was out in Surrey for the last year, and it felt very much like home. We had, the truth of the matter is we have a huge visible minority population that is active and exciting and bringing us, we have the highest percentage of entrepreneurs in Canada in Northeast Calgary. And that's entirely representative of our immigrant population. You know, they've come in and taken Calgary by storm. And, but that's the new Calgary that I see, that you see, Jazz, that sometimes the old staid conservative voters don't see. They see threat where I see opportunity.
Well, it's going to be an interesting weekend and look forward to chatting with you very soon in regards to what it all means Tuesday morning.
Well, keep an eye on your neighbors. Keep an eye on us. We need your help.
Yeah.
It's a difficult time for us, Jazz. So thanks for checking in on us.
Yeah, we always do, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.